hope everything is going well with you. And it's been a few weeks since we have gotten together. At least it's been my opportunity. I got away for a week and it was just awesome. I got to see my sister-in-law get married in Florida, and I was privileged to be part of that ceremony. What an incredible testimony for Nikki and Paul and their life together. So Kelly and I are just so thankful, and our whole family is just rejoicing right now. But hey, happy Mother's Day to you today, to all you mothers that are out there. And whether you are a mother, whether you've had a mother, I think we've all had a mother. But hey, God bless you today. It's a great morning, and I hope you got your coffee, whatever your flavor is that you like. Ah, good, bold. All right, good stuff. Well, hey, we're gonna get right to it today. One thing that's been on my heart is I've been looking at some scriptures in the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 14. For whatever reason, the Holy Spirit kind of brought me back to this. Back in 2009, God gave me a message out of that scripture. It's the account of Paul and Barnabas and their ministry in Lystra. And it didn't quite go as planned, but there were some lessons that you and I can learn from this portion of scripture. So first thing I'm going to do is just kind of read our base scripture. It's Acts chapter 14, and it's starting with verse 8, and it says this: "In Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth, and he had never walked. He listened to Paul as Paul was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him. He saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, 'Stand up on your feet.' And at that, the man jumped up and he began to walk." That's pretty awesome. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form," all right? "Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermas, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, he brought bowls and wreaths." Man, they were going to start sacrificing to Paul and to Barnabas. This wasn't that great of a thing that was going to be taking place, but this is all these people knew. Verse 14, "But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes." Okay, there was a sign of this. This was a sign of indignation. They tore their clothes and they rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only humans like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all the nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Hallelujah. "Even with these words, the people had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them." I mean, this is a crazy scene that's going on. "And then some Jews," okay, here we go. "The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won the crowd over." These were the enemies, okay, of the message of the cross. These were those religious-minded people. "How dare you bring this message of Jesus?" "And they stoned Paul." They actually stoned him, man. They were in revival, and then all of a sudden, the enemy stirs up and incites the crowd, and now they're going to stone Paul. "And they dragged him outside of the city, thinking that he was dead." Hallelujah. He was not dead. But obviously, there were some people that had been won over by the message of the cross, and it says that the disciples had gathered around him, and he got up, and he went back into the city. And the next day, he and Barnabas left for Derby. Man, I just get excited when I read this story, because there's just so many life applications for you and I in this story. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they had been set apart for missional work, all right? They had been set apart and they were spreading the gospel. They were doing what was in their heart to do. And they had come from Antioch and then they went to Iconium. And, you know, this was Paul's first missionary journey. And I'm sure he was ambitious. You know, this guy was well studied and scholarly, but man, he had an absolute encounter with God on the road to Damascus. You can go and read that. It's an incredible, incredible encounter. Changed his heart, and he realized that what he was actually doing, what he thought was for God, was actually murdering Christians. But God changed his heart and redeemed him and set him free. So yes, Paul lived with the consequences of all of that misdirection, but at the same point, he yielded his life to give Jesus all the glory. So he and Barnabas had come to the place of Lystra to minister the gospel. And remember, God was moving in powerful ways. However, isn't it always true that when God is moving, the enemy's close by? There's persecution and resistance that's they were met with. And obviously that was going to be part of the journey that they were on. But despite the fact that many Jews and there were still many Jews and many Greek people, Gentiles, that believed in the glorious message of Jesus Christ in setting them free, the one who was the sacrifice for all, and the message wasn't just for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentile. How incredible! They had met great resistance along the way, but they also saw God move in powerful ways in these people's lives. The resistance in Iconium, they left there, they came to Lystra, and it seemed to follow them. But an incredible miracle took place in which this crippled man who had been lame from birth was healed. I think that's just absolutely incredible. And revival broke out, right? Revival, you know? Not as we always think of it. It's not just a tent meeting and a bunch of meetings where we just kill ourselves day, night after night after night after night. But it was actual changing of hearts, changing culture. All these things were beginning to take place. But the people, they were so entrenched in pagan worship. They were so entrenched in idol worship, they really didn't even know how to respond. Paul had to bring some direction to them. Revival broke out, but then again, here comes the enemy. Every time revival breaks out, the enemy stirred up the people and attempts to shut down the message of the gospel. Can I just say one little thing right here? You can't shut it down. Woo! That's the God that you and I serve. The enemy's been trying for thousands of years, but the message of the gospel can never, ever, ever be stopped. And that includes right here in the old US of A, friends. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what type of government we have. It doesn't matter. We are living for a different kingdom, and the kingdom of God can never be stopped. Let that sink in. So here's the deal. Here's one thing that that God showed me in this message. And I'm just really going to cover 2 points today. But number one, God uses yielded people. He uses people to do great things. If you've ever been around the ministry or messages that I've spoken, you've probably heard me say this before, but God always uses yielded people. God wants to do great things in your life and in my life, and He will. See, friends, it wasn't about whether the culture was friendly to the gospel or not, because this culture was not friendly to the gospel. In fact, the religious culture of that day was very antagonistic and hateful. That was the very thing that put Jesus on the cross to begin with. It was quite the opposite. Culture was saturated with pagan worship, idolatry worship, spiritism, all these other things. People were constantly afraid of evil spirits, so they were invoking this God and that God and this, attempt at this and that, and they were trying to appease their own selves, but they couldn't do it because it just didn't work. The culture was dominated by, really, it was a demonic spirits that were dominated. They were anchored in the culture. Much of the culture was anchored in mythology and idol worship. But here it is, Paul and Barnabas, okay? These cats were willing and they were yielded, man. They were called and they were empowered. Let that sink in. They were called and they were empowered, and so are you and I today. See, they didn't focus on the limitations. One of the limitations that we see right from these scriptures here is that there was a language barrier, okay? The Lyconian language was used. But this goes to show you that language is not always just the barrier. Here's the thing. They went forth with a message of peace. They went forth with a message of love. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's so important, man. I encourage you to read Acts chapter 2, man. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled to overflowing with God's love and joy and empowerment. In fact, Paul in another scripture said this. He says, I don't come to you with eloquent words or persuasive speech, but I come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why? Because the demonstration of the Spirit's power breaks down those cultural barriers that sometimes exist. And that's what happened. They found this lame man, and even though there were barriers, man, the power of God, they saw that this man had faith to be healed. He reached out, he told him to stand up, and God miraculously worked through Paul into this man, and this guy was healed. Hallelujah. For his glory, for God's glory. See, here's the deal, friends. They didn't focus on the fact that culture wasn't friendly. They didn't focus on the limitations that were there. They simply saw a people that was much like themselves. They had been deceived for years. They had bought into a religious system that was actually offering everything but the hope and the love and the security and the provision that they were all looking for. In fact, it was providing no hope. It was just putting a heavy yoke of burden on the top of every person. Friends, let that set you free today. The gospel is enough. The cross is enough. The sacrifice that Jesus made is enough. It's not Jesus plus works. It's Jesus and His grace and Him alone. See, we are empowered by His grace. We are saved by His grace, and we are also empowered by His grace. Isn't that good news? I just think that's really cool. I love it. Jesus said this, and we know this. It's a scripture that I quote many, many times. I have overcome the world, okay? In this world, you're going to have what? You're going to have trouble. You're going to have resistance. You're going to have just these things, whether it be in your family, whether it be outside your family. I don't know what your Lystra is or what city that God has called you to. Maybe it's just your family and you're trying to raise godly kids, but you are going to receive resistance sometimes. But Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. See, friends, here's the thing. You and I got this thing called flesh, all right? In our flesh, there's all kinds of evil desires. There's things that we want to do that are contrary to the way of the Spirit. Paul even said it himself. He said, I have to conquer my flesh. In fact, the words that he used were, I need to crucify my flesh. In other words, I need to take my flesh and put my flesh up there on the cross with what Jesus did. And I need to allow His Spirit to then fill me and use me for His glory. It takes on a completely different purpose. But we've got to conquer that desire inside of ourselves to self-preserve. And what I mean by that is sometimes we are so desperate for acceptance. We are so desperate for validation and all these other things that everything we do, our motivations kind of become self-serving. Friends, we got to see that thing killed on the inside of us. And we need to let God's just unyielding love come into our hearts and reach and touch the world around us. See, that's what life in the Spirit is all about. It's when I put myself aside and I let God work in me and God through me. Listen to this. As Paul was praying for the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 11, he says this, may you be strengthened, okay? May you be strengthened with all power. Everybody say, all power. Woo! All power, all right? According to His glorious might. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all endurance and patience with joy. Whatever you need for your journey, whether your journey is 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, whatever it may be, but may you be filled and strengthened with all power from Him, not from our own resources, but from Him, so that you will be able to endure. And not in a way that you're just kind of dragging yourself across the finish line, but you're able to endure with what? With patience and with joy. I think that's pretty awesome. Patience and joy. So number one, God uses willing people. This is the second thing that I want to point on today, and I'll wrap up with this. When God moves, the enemy, all right, we know the enemy, Satan, He's always moving around us, and he's got all kinds of influences, and he'll use whatever means that he can. He is crafty, isn't he? And he will use whatever tactic that he can to get you and I off track. His goal is always the same, though. He wants to steal the glory away from God. I will tell you, friends, many times in my life I've come against adversity, and even as a Christian, you know, sometimes the hardest people to reach are church people, because we've got a very religious mindset. And sometimes with that religious mindset, man, I've fallen prey to this so many times. We could fall prey to this idea that I don't want to change, I like things the way they are, but God is constantly changing. The message doesn't change, friends, and you've heard me say this many times before if you've ever listened to a message. God is ringing a bell for today. And sometimes we insist on ringing the old bell. We gotta let God ring the new bell, and we need to get behind it, friends. See, when I possess a religious mindset, and I have, whether I've just been, you know, going to church, attending, in leadership, or even as a pastor, I can get a religious mindset. I don't ever want to have a religious mindset. I always want to be fluid and moving where God wants me to move. See, when I have an unwillingness to change, it's like in this story. It's like I'm opening up my hand and I'm letting the enemy put a rock in my hand to throw at the messenger. That kind of hurts, doesn't it? I know, but just realize that God will help us in this. God helps us change. God helps us become who He wants us to become. It's part of that refining process. You know, the enemy is always at work, but we have to be willing to change. I was reminded, I was just thinking about this beforehand. I remember a football game that I played many years ago, 30 years ago. But the reality was, we were up 21-0 at the half. We had put in a new offense, and we had, you know, scored on the same play. I may have shared this before, I don't know. But the reality is that the second half, the enemy, the defense, they changed their strategy and they shut us down. Well, we had options available to us, but we didn't use the options that were necessary, and we ended up getting beat 28-21. And maybe you feel sometimes that, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? Well, sometimes God maybe might want you to change your strategy a little bit. Or maybe you need to get a little of yourself out of the way and a little more spirit in. Whatever God speaks to you about that, just honor it. Get in the Word of God and let Him speak to you. But there's always going to be opposition in this journey. There will always be selfish people, unfortunately. See, a great thing that happened here is that this man was healed. This crippled man was healed. And there are times in our lives that we see something great happen. Maybe one of our kids, you know, gets saved, or we see some progress in there. Or maybe you have a prodigal, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see some progress, and you're hopeful, and there's great things that are happening, or somebody gets saved. I mean, last week we had 3 students get saved at our youth group on Wednesday night at Ignite Youth, and that was just an incredible thing. But isn't it just like the enemy to just try to always come in and stir things up? Don't be surprised when the enemy comes in. He's always going to try to steal the glory away from God and to get people to go back and retreat to their old ways of doing things. Just let that sink in. Listen to this, though. Despite the opposition, despite the fact that there's the Jezebels out there, you know, we had Elijah, Spirit of Revival, Jezebel's always close by, all right? You just got to realize that. Here's the thing, Luke 10:19. Listen to this scripture. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. Defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee from before you 7 different ways. I think that's incredible. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and the devil will do what? He will flee from you. Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life, God. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemy, and your right hand delivers me. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against me will what? Will prosper. I'm going to tell you what, These are promises for God, and they're for today. They're for today. They let these scriptures, let the word of God encourage you today. So number one, God uses yielded people. And number two, when God moves, you need to be aware that the enemy is always trying to get you back off track. He's always trying to steal the glory away from other things. But just be encouraged, man. God is on the throne. He's never left it. Sometimes we try to take the throne, but let's keep him on the throne of our lives. Hey, God bless you today. And have a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day celebration with your families. Hopefully you can get together and with some friends and family and things. But God bless you. Praying for you. We love you here at Canton Assembly. Have a good one.